Sugatsia for my friends at Casper. Years of research, hundreds of tests, thousands of iterations. The result? The latest and dreamiest in sleep innovation, including the new mattresses from Casper. Casper has done it again with all new mattresses. Waking up with back pain? Introducing Zone Support, Casper's unique ergonomic system designed to keep your spine aligned when you sleep. There's something brand new called Airscape, engineered foam layers with perforations that help regulate your sleep temperature. From bedding, bed frames, and even a dog bed, Casper has everything to build the dream bedroom for every kind of sleeper. I've been sleeping on a Casper mattress for years. I swear by it. Most comfortable mattress I've ever slept on. Anytime they have new innovations, I am in on that. And as always, free shipping and free returns. And now Casper is offering free contactless delivery. And as always, free returns. Go to Casper.com. Use code Lebatard for $100 off your mattress order. That's code Lebatard for $100 off your mattress order. Terms and conditions apply. See Casper.com/terms. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. This is Shower Sessions, half interview, half concert, all from the shower. Watch new music videos and exclusive interviews now at youtube.com/progressive. Tim Grover expected to join us here in just a second. Here's your SportsCenter update. The United States Golf Association has announced that the U.S. Open will go with an all-exempt field of golfers as local and sectional qualifying for the major has been canceled. The Big Three League has canceled this season and will focus on 2021 in the hopes of having fans in the stands. And finally, American Pie star Tara Reid is reportedly being considered for the role of Carol Baskin in an upcoming movie based on Netflix docuseries Tiger King. SportsCenter is brought to you by Blue Emu. From one of America's most trusted brands comes a new maximum strength arthritis pain relief cream. Blue Emu maximum arthritis pain relief cream is non-greasy, deep penetrating, and it's odor free. Don't let joint pain strike you out. Reach for Blue Emu maximum arthritis cream. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
He didn't just train Michael Jordan. He did it with Pippen. He did it with Hakeem, with Kobe, with Dwayne, with Charles Barkley, although I probably think he doesn't tell a whole lot of people that one. I don't know if that one's a success story or not. But Tim Grover, and thank you for joining us, as a trainer for Scottie Pippen, we were talking yesterday that he was wounded and disappointed by his portrayal in the Last Dance documentary. What did you think of his portrayal, Scottie's portrayal in The Last Dance?
Well, you know what? I never worked for the organization. So a lot of the stuff that went on behind, you know, during practices with the organization, I wasn't really privy to all that information or to see exactly what was going behind that. My job was to, you know, keep Scottie healthy, deal with the different injuries along with the training staff, and allow him to play at the highest level. My relationship with Scottie, he showed up at every workout, did everything that he was supposed to do. I can never get into the person's head and into their life to know, hey, why they do certain things. Do I agree with a lot of things? Probably not, but I don't agree with a lot of things that a lot of players did on the team. I mean, you know, Dennis taking his trip to the wrestling in the Vegas and all that stuff, but that's not for me to manage. That was for Phil and the organization to manage. But I think Scottie came across, you know, very honestly came across the way he wanted to be portrayed in certain ways. You know, they asked him about that situation, that one, you know, whatever it was, 1.8, he said he would do it again. At the last shot, he's like, his back was like, hey, I'm going to be a decoy, and that's all I can be. That's all I can be right now. And in the last, when that shot was coming up, he just said, I'm just getting out the way.
Is it true, Tim, that the way that you got into this locker room and this world is that you wrote all the Bulls a letter except for Michael Jordan, but Michael Jordan was the only one who responded? Is that a true story?
That is 100% true. So what happened was, I was a kid out of college. I had just finished my master's in exercise science. I was working at a local health club, but I always knew this is what I wanted to do. I said, hey, I wanted to train professional athletes. There was a little segment in one of the newspapers that said Michael's tired of taking the physical abuse from the Detroit Pistons. I'm like, all right. So, you know, back then there is no email. You just so I just said, you know, I hand wrote letters. And you just throw them in the mail. You just send them to the practice facility. And, you know, like players, they get mail in their locker because it's fan mail. At least back then they did. And, you know, if somebody opened it, and I, for some reason, I don't know how a letter ended up in Michael's hand. I don't know if he took it out of somebody else's locker, but he handed it over to the athletic trainer, who was Mark Feil at that time. And Mark Feil contacted the team physician, who was Dr. John Heffron. And they both reached out to me and said, hey, we actually have somebody that's interested. They didn't tell me who it was. So 3 months going back and forth with those two individuals, because they wanted to know what my philosophy was, you know, how I trained, what my education was, did I actually know what I was doing? And then one day Mark Feil just tells me, he said, hey, we want you to meet the client after practice. Still to that moment, I don't know who it is. So they give me the address. I show up at the door. I ring the doorbell, because back then it was more of a modest house where you could just ring the doorbell. I rang the doorbell, and Michael Jordan opens up the door.
And that's how you end up in his life. Tim Grover, trainer for Michael Jordan and a host of other athletes with us on ESPN Radio. Were you around when Ron Artest fought Michael Jordan during a pickup game after Jordan's second retirement in Washington?
It actually happened in my gym. Yes, I remember. It wasn't a fight. So what happened was, it was a very contested game that they were playing, and it was a game. It was a game point. And you know, back then Ron Artest, as he was known, was, you know, he's very, very strong. And what he did was he reached around on Michael, because Michael was trying to post him up, and reached around and then grabbed him by the midsection and gave him a little elbow, and that's where that injury had occurred.
And so how good a fight was it? How good a clash was it, I should say?
It was a clash. I mean, they went back and they actually finished the game. So they went, you could see that Michael was wincing when he was running up and down the court. We didn't know the extent of what had actually happened then. But like I said, it wasn't like a bare knuckle brawl or anything like that.
We're done with the softballs now, Grover. I'm going to interrogate you on Pizzagate. Are you ready for a whole lot of Pizzagate questions?
I figured I was waiting for this one. I know you've been waiting. So go ahead.
All right. After the Pizzagate incident, did he then have a royal taste tester? Was there something done so that would never happen again?
So it was funny the next day when the food was being ordered, obviously, you know, that happened. There weren't that many games that were left after that. But what we would do is we'd end up all ordering the same thing. All right, so whatever he decided to eat, George had to order the same thing, I had to order the same thing, and it was kind of like playing Russian roulette. So we just like, all right, who's going to pick what? Who's going to pick and see what happens? So he kind of laughed it off. We kind of made fun of it afterwards.
So no taste tester after that, is
no,
it
no
true?
Taste, no taste tester. Maybe if there was going to be another season afterwards, hey, you know, possibly that would have been a job that could have been created.
Is it true that the report's true that Michael Jordan would spit on food so others would not eat it?
So Michael was very territorial about his food. You know, it was like this is my food. He didn't like anybody picking up any food off of his plate or so forth. Now, when he would say he would spit on his food, it's not like he took a big noogie and, you know, this big thing that landed on. He would like playfully, you know, kind of like do one of the on his food just so to claim, hey, this is mine. But it wasn't like, you know, he was like getting way down deep in the throat and in the nostrils to put this big thing on his food.
Why didn't Michael Jordan either sue the pizza place or at least put them on his incredibly long grudge list?
You know what? To this day, if we would have remembered, where we ordered that pizza was. George and I have been going back and forth. He doesn't remember. I don't remember. But I do remember after that, pizza was definitely off the list.
One more question on this front. We'll see if Cody or Stugatz have any questions. How much Hennessy was used to chase down that pizza?
During that time, none. All right. So one thing I want to clarify, and before you guys get into this, and I was ready for this one. All right. So in that three-peat run, all right, Michael never missed a game, never missed a practice, never missed a workout, and averaged 38 minutes a game. How many players in this generation, and you guys will have better references and stats, let's say over the last 10 years, played every single game for three straight years and played 38 minutes. Now, everyone knows Michael enjoyed a cocktail from time to time, but not to the point where it was going to be detrimental to his performance on the basketball court.
But, Tim, he retired because he was tired. it was detrimental to his performance in that we didn't get to see it very much after that because he was tired.
Well, remember what he said. He wanted to come back now. He did say, listen, I'm not going to play for a new coach. All right, I'm not going to play for a new coach at this stage in my career. This is what I want. This is what I want to do. We all saw in the documentary. Would Michael have placed himself and the training and the nutrition and all that stuff and would have adjusted like it did every single year? He would have came back. Listen, he was probably more mentally tired of everything that he had to go through during that last season than he was physically tired.
True or false question? Tim Grover, trainer to Michael Jordan, is mortified by how many cigars he was smoking and how many beers he was drinking after games.
The beers weren't as bad because he still had. We were able to get a control on that. Now the cigar thing. So what happened? How that started was one day I just see him and he's smoking cigars and I'm just looking at him. And he goes, I'm not going to stop. He goes, this is something I started. I really enjoy. He goes, it's your job to find out how to keep me performing at the highest level while I'm still going to smoke cigars. So I said, this is what I hired you for. It's your job to figure it out. Now I know somebody said that he was doing six cigars a day. No. All right. The most I had ever seen him smoke during a season, or it was three, and they weren't complete. It wasn't like he smoked it from one end to the other.
Tim, good talking to you. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
He had a chance. Listen, he tested things, and if you could perform at that high level and still enjoy your cigars, so be it. You know, for some people, that's what it takes.
Tim, good talking to you. Thank you for stopping through, sir.
My pleasure, guys. Take care. Love your show.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with Geico on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
If you missed any of our interviews, please check them out on demand in the Dan Le Batard Show podcast, brought to you by the Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, 2% at grocery stores, and 1% on all other purchases. Capital One, What's in your wallet? Guys, it's time for Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
The listeners, and we are grateful for them, no matter how cruel they decide to be, because we understand that you have a lot of options during the pandemic, and many of you have lost your commute. So we are grateful for anyone who's with us, but they are chiming in loud, and they have birthed this poll question at Lebatard Show, Billy. Grover rated? Yes or no? Grover rated? Question mark. Stugatz, I want to ask you this. Yesterday, a whole lot of people were bothered, as they were last week, that we said that Steve Kerr is just as much of a competitor as Michael Jordan. And Stan Van Gundy said last week, Udonis Haslam and J.J. Redick are just as much a competitor, that there's a ceiling on how competitive you can be. So I ask you this. Is Michael Jordan more of a competitor than Ronnie Lott?
No, he's just a better athlete than Ronnie Lott. I don't, like, I totally agree with people when they say that. He's not, he's competitive, but unless you have those gifts, the athletic gifts that he had that no one else had, the ability to hang in the air just a half second longer than anyone else he was playing against, the jumping ability, the jump shot, the defense, all of that, he doesn't have that. The competitiveness does not matter.
The Athletic is doing something or has done something where they're giving some staffers $50 to see who could produce the best sports memorabilia for $50 or less. I think I'd like to do that with us, except not the best. Who can produce the funniest memorabilia for $50 or less? Mike Ryan, I think, bought a Antonio Brown Raiders. Was it a jersey? But that was going to be more than $50, obviously.
I got that at a steep discount, and that was when everything was still funny around Antonio Brown, and then it took several weeks to come in the mail, and by that time it stopped being funny, and I bought it as a conversation piece, and then it became a conversation I didn't want to have.
Should we do it, though? Should we do $50 per person to see who it is that could produce the funniest bit of memorabilia on eBay amongst all of us?
Oh, is it on eBay? Because I have been memorabilia hunting on these auction sites trying to do this exact thing. I was feeling pretty good about a sports almanac from the movie Back to the Future that was autographed by the cast, but then that thing skyrocketed. I myself am trying to do this with a $50 budget every day. So far, the only thing I could get was like a Josh Allen jersey. I'm not interested in that. It wasn't even the good Josh Allen, even though I don't know if he's good or not. It was a Jags Josh Allen.
So you have to stay within you have to stay within the budget of $50 and buy the funniest pizza memorabilia. I think that's a great idea. I think we should do it. In fact, I'm going to start surfing the net right now. Because I don't know how much you could buy for $50 or less right now, but if there was ever a time, this would be a good time.
Guillermo, put it on the poll. Do people still say surfing the net? Greg Cody and Chris Cody have a family dispute going on in terms of the Devontae Parker, Michael Thomas beef that has gone back and forth here. I don't want to give you the details again. Just know that on social media, the wide receiver for the Dolphins and the best wide receiver in terms of production in the NFL are going back and forth. Cody, we cut you with a hard network out. So go ahead and tell us all the things that you told us after you were off air when we cut you off earlier.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly when I got cut off, but I was mentioning that he picked sort of the wrong guy to pick on, Devontae Parker did, because Michael Thomas is arguably the best receiver in the league, unquestionably top three or top five. Devontae Parker, until the middle of last season, was thought to be pretty much a first-round draft bust by a lot of Dolphins fans. So he came on very late to have a good half season, and now he's talking a lot of smack to a guy who's of a much greater stature than him. I love that he did it. It's great to talk about. It's interesting for any sort of a Dolphin to be in the news for any reason having to do with competitiveness. But in this case, it's just sort of weird the guy he picked on for the reason he did.
And what are you objecting to there, Chris?
I mean, I thought you're not supposed to beef down. What is Michael Thomas doing? Like, first of all, the options were, would you rather be defended by Gilmore of the Patriots or of Michael Thomas? Obviously, being in the same division, Devontae Parker has a familiarity with the Gilmore, the cornerback from the Patriots. He's just answered. He didn't say anything negative about Michael Thomas. It just, after you read all this, Michael Thomas comes off incredibly poor. And it's just very, it's like, what are you doing? Why are you beefing down? It's just a bad look for Michael Thomas.
Look at the smiling Greg Cody. Mike Ryan is, wow, Mike Ryan is checking in on Carmen Electra signed swimsuit from Baywatch. Can you get that for less than $40? You can.
That's going for $49.35 right now.
Jeff Passan joins us next.
There's nothing out there. That is Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Jeff Passan going to join us in just a minute. Here's your SportsCenter update. The United States Golf Association has announced that the U.S. Open will go with an all-exempt field of golfers as local and sectional qualifying for the major has been canceled. The Big Three League has canceled this season and will focus on 2021 in the hopes of having fans in the stands. And finally, Chuck E. Cheese appears to be going by a new name on Grubhub. The well-known pizza chain franchise has an offshoot brand it's using on the food delivery app, which goes by Pasquale's Pizza and Wings. Okay. Tomorrow is National Streaming Day, so there's no better time to start streaming sports and exclusive originals on ESPN+. ESPN+ is the home of UFC, international soccer, the full 30 for 30 library, and more. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com or head to DisneyPlus.com/Disney Bundle to get the streaming hat trick of Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN Plus for just $12.99 a month. What a great deal. Seriously. Sit back, relax, and get your stream on. It's always streaming season on ESPN+. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
It took Netflix to got 7 years and 5 months to get to 50 million subscribers. It took Disney Plus 5 months to get to 50 million. Now, to be fair, though, it's because of Netflix,
right,
and because of everything instigated by Netflix. Of course, it's going to end up taking them longer, but it took Netflix 7 years, 5 months, and it took Disney Plus only 5 months. Jeff Passan wrote that story about all the details, and it seems exhaustive. It seems like a really complicated, difficult thing to do. So Jeff Passan with us now on ESPN Radio, getting baseball back. What would you say to the person who didn't read the article, Jeff, and thank you for joining us, are the details that are most interesting to you in terms of the lengths that have to be gone to keep everyone safe here?
When I got this document, Dan, it was pretty late on a Friday night, and I started digging into it, and it was 67 pages long. And by the 67th page, after I had looked at a diagram of what fielding practice needs to look like to be properly socially distanced, I said to myself, in the wee hours of the morning, there's no way baseball's coming back this year, because it was that daunting a prospect to implement all of these things. I mean, everything from standing 6 feet apart during the national anthem to no spitting, to no dipping, to no sunflower seeds, no hot tub, no cold tub, no cryotherapy. You can't have a clubhouse spread. You have to have every dinner wrapped up separately. And, oh, if you're going to eat with your teammates, you better be 6 feet away from them because you have to socially distance at the dinner table. Then when you go back to the hotel, if you're on the road, you're not allowed to leave because, well, we don't want you getting COVID and bringing it back. And if you do decide to leave, we're not going to say what's going to happen to you exactly, but we might chop one of your fingers off. I mean, that's what the detail of this document felt like. They were going to put penalties in place for leaving your hotel in These are grown men. And this gets back to your skepticism originally from the Arizona plan a couple months ago, right, where you said there's no way they can pull this off. It's going to be really hard for them to pull something like this off, and yet this is the choice that they have. And I think we're going to see how badly owners want baseball to be played and how badly players want to play baseball.
Jeff, I read your story, and I said to myself, this isn't possible. They can't. I read your story, and I'm like, they can't execute this.
I think they can execute it. Let's put it this way. What in there individually, Dan, do you think they can't do? That's what I get back to. Collectively, it is a lot to deal with. But I also believe that humans are very adaptable creatures, maybe baseball players a little less so, but that there was no one thing in there that to me said this is going to be impossible. The hardest thing, honestly, that I thought was on the doctors, because if you have, you know, 150 to 175 people potentially that you have to go and screen before this whole thing begins, it's an enormous amount of time and pressure on the doctors who are going to be doing this and ensuring that everybody comes in a healthy fashion. The stuff that the ball players are going to do, like, look, when they negotiate with MLB, they're going to get their showers back. Like, there's a clause in the protocol that says, we suggest that players don't shower after the game. That's not going to happen. They're going to get the shower. They're going to do their thing. And I think the big question that comes out of this is, if it happens, if they're able to get back on the field, just how strongly will they enforce this sort of stuff? Are you telling me guys are going to get fined for spitting or chewing sunflower seeds or dipping? Or if you're within 5 feet of someone during the national anthem, they're going to fine you? Like, I don't know. It seems like this document, Dan, exists for health reasons, certainly, but exists as much as anything to placate local health officials who are going to need to rubber stamp, in addition to governors, mayors, and the federal government, the return of baseball.
Jeff, is it worth it?
I mean, I think so. And not just because the prospect of spending the next 6 months without baseball in America, like, kind of depresses me, but I think it's worth it for the players because they want to get paid and they want to go out and play. I think it's worth it for the owners because there are going to be a bunch of them who are in pretty bad financial situations, granted, financial situations of their own making, because this has been an industry that for decades now, profits have grown exponentially. And for clubs to put themselves in this position where they're over-leveraged, completely their fault. And yet, they still don't want to lose their teams. So if the easiest way and best way for them to maintain their teams is to have baseball back, then, yeah, they want it back too. And I think that there is still a great enough desire for on behalf of both teams and players and the league and the MLB Players Association for them to figure something out to get back onto the field. Now, will they stay there? Will COVID allow that? I have no idea, but I do still think that they're motivated enough to get past all of these hypotheticals and all of these questions and get back out there.
One last question for Elmo. What did Elmo think of A-Rod and Mark Teixeira coming out publicly as players need to take pay cuts?
Are you really going to make me talk bad about my teammates? Come on, Dan. That's not nice.
Thank you, Jeff. You are doing great work, sir. Good talking to you. Thank you for making the time for us.
Gentlemen, thank you as always. Hope everyone's well and take care.
Likewise. We get Greg Cody on the Hard Network out next.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Giveback, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Guys, it's time for the Binge Club. It is brought to you by Marathon. These days, we have to travel smart. Marathon can help by improving engine performance with quality top-tier gasoline. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
So what are you binging? Are you supposed to throw it to us? Are you supposed to tell us what you're binging? Are you supposed to lead us through a content segment, or you just want me to talk here?
Well, it's the same as last week, Dan. I will start with what I am binging, and then I will throw it to you for what you are binging, and then you can throw it to whomever you'd like from there, okay?
It would have been better if you had just done that as opposed right. to having you were staring at me like if you expect me to lead this segment.
You said it was the same as last week, and your intro was very different. Instead of just going, you said that you were supposed to go.
I would check the tape. I would advise you guys to check the tape. Dan is the leader of the show. I like, you know, and I am very okay. I'd like to let Dan have the first word in every segment. I do. I like for him to have the first word.
Whatever you say there, Stu. It's fine. We shouldn't get bogged down in this.
We really shouldn't, but we are. But Dan is the leader of the show. He's the number one voice on the show. He's the captain of the ship. I said ship with a P, and others would call it something else. But I am telling you, I like when Dan speaks first. It makes me feel more comfortable. Anyway, I am binging Into the Night. Into the Night, I am binging season one, Into the Night on Netflix. It is a great show where six or seven people are on an airplane. Now, the rest of the world has died, okay? Because the sun, if you were outside or just around, not in an airplane, when the sun came up on a particular morning, you died. These six or seven people got out before the sun came up. They are flying airport to airport, refueling, trying to avoid the sun. It's a fantastic show. I love it. It's called Into the Night on Netflix. Dan, what are you binging?
I'm going to keep throwing it around the room here to Mike Ryan before I get to mine. Mike Ryan, what would you say is worth binging?
Well, that show that Sugats has, it sounds like an interesting premise. It also sounds like Snowpiercer, but just, hey, let's do it with a plane, which is how most of these pitches go, I guess. I'm still binging Dave. I love Dave. This Little Dickie show on FX and Hulu is really, really funny. What a talent. And it's no coincidence that he's repped by Scooter Braun, who's one of the most powerful people in music. That's why you get these amazing cameos in this show and in his music videos, because he's actually repped by the most powerful person, arguably, in the music industry, Scooter Braun.
Didn't Lil Dicky go after Mina Kimes for criticizing Lil Dicky's music? I thought that was a back and forth worth recapturing. I've got to go look and find out some of the details on that. Billy, what are you binging?
Dan, I don't know if you've heard of Pluto TV. It's basically free TV channels, but there's no DVR and there's no set schedule. So you basically have to catch things when they're on. And I've been watching The Simple Life on Pluto TV. Wow. Takes us back a couple years when Nicole Richie and Paris Hilton traveled America together and took on simple tasks around the world.
I really don't understand why you always sound like you're joining us from a submarine. Yeah. Chris, I mean, everyone else's audio
sounds
has
like he's
gotten
underwater.
Fixed. Chris, what are you binging these days?
I just finished Bleeps Creek the other night. I also just started Dave. I'm only through one episode. That was really funny. But I've been rewatching Boy Meets World on Disney Plus. I started in season one. I'm already in season four. It's crazy how Corey Matthews has become less smart through the years.
Roy, what do you got for us? Last week you were talking about barbecue. What do you got for us this week?
Well, Dan, I realize this is very, very poor timing, but I have gotten into House of Cards.
Oh.
It's actually a pretty
really?
Good show.
Yeah, yeah. It is a good show. Wasn't it like Netflix's big first big giant hit? Yes.
Yes, it was.
I don't know why your timing would be bad on that, although are you just saying anything after Kevin Spacey is a bad time to watch House of Cards?
That's right.
Roy,
that's exactly what I'm saying.
Roy, did you see Kevin Spacey come out? Anytime he goes out in public and puts out one of these creepy videos, it's always a bad idea, but he's like trying to level with the rest of the United States and relate, hey man, I know what it's like to have your world stop on a dime. And we're like very different circumstance Kevin Spacey, go away.
Yeah, it was like some people really do need to be quiet. Matt Leinart the other day went on Twitter and was just saying, well, my mom died of cancer and we didn't all go inside. And then people pointed out to him that cancer's not contagious. And then he deleted the tweet. Tony, what is it that you are binging these days?
Dan, I'm binging Mad Men, and good Lord, is John Hand handsome.
Yes, yes, he is.
Ham bone in the house.
Ham bones in the house is how he will enter any and all chat rooms. That is not surprising at all. Is that so you haven't gotten to Mad Men yet? You are late to the Mad Men party, Tone.
I am late to the Mad Men party. I'm through 2.5 seasons. I'm starting season 3 right now, and I'm waiting for it to pick up a little bit, so hopefully that does happen.
Yes, Chris, what do you have here?
I just realized that I'm in reruns, and I did the Boy Meets World bit last week.
You did?
Unbelievable, man. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable.
I mean, it takes a while to binge something.
That's how you say memorable things, Chris, in the radio business, when they're so boring not even you remember saying them. That's why you have no future in this business. So I have told you before about a documentary worth watching. It is an older one about a cult, and older in this day and age is anything that was more than 10 minutes ago. But Wild Wild Country is a one-season documentary that is real easy to watch about a different time where you will sort of be floored at how a cult ends up coming to life, mushrooming, taking over a city, ending up armed in a way that is hugely dangerous, and really taking advantage of people in a way that it is interesting to view in retrospect. Did I get to everybody? Oh, no, I didn't get to Greg Cody. So Greg Cody of the Miami Herald, he binges with his wife. His wife leads him to water. So where has she led you most recently, and why?
Well, we're in the middle of the final season of Bleeps Creek, and we're...
It's Dan, Stu, and Greg Cody on ESPN Radio.